This case is Bureau Nacional Interprofesional de Cognac v. Cologne & Cognac Entertainment, 2023-1100. Mr. Brody.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court. In its decision below, the Trademark Trial Appeal Board majority used incorrect legal standards in its analysis of the most important likelihood of confusion factors.
Can you speak up just a little bit, please?
Absolutely. The strength and fame of opposer's mark, is that better?
Thank you. Thank you.
The similarity of the party's marks and the relatedness of goods and services. As to one of these, the similarity of marks, the majority also made factual findings without citing or having any supporting evidence, and contrary to the record.
These customers don't look alike. The word cognac and cognac, Cologne Cognac Entertainment with the sparkles look quite different.
There are other words in the applicant's mark, certainly, Your Honor, but in a number of cases in this court and in the majority opinion, the majority found that the word cognac was part of the dominant element of the applicant's mark, and it was reinforced by what the majority found was an image of a cognac bottle. There was no dispute about that. And that gives the consumer the impression that the mark is about cognac, not about cologne, not about entertainment.
But the DuPont factors were found to be either neutral or not on your side.
That is correct, and we argue that with respect to all three of the factors that were found against the opposers, the incorrect legal standard was applied. And I'd be happy to go through each of those, Your Honor, in detail.
Can we talk a little bit about what the consumer is supposed to be aware of when confronted with this particular mark? First, let me just say, I think we're all on the same page that the same analysis is used when we're dealing with a common law mark as opposed to a registered mark, right? And secondly, we all agree that the DuPont factors of the test you use in the 2D analysis. But here we have a mark that your expert says in her declaration is giving the consumer awareness both of the region from which the product comes and the mode of manufacture, the quality, correct? So you would agree that this is a dual function mark.
It is, but it only needs to have the regional certification.
Okay, well, that's what I'm going to get at. So in 1998, almost 30 years to the date when we were arguing this case, so it's like a reprise, the 1998 board said that at least in connection with asking whether the mark is generic, the mark needs only to disclose or to make the consumer aware of the region. And the question that the majority of the board in this case, came to the opposite conclusion, correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
The board and that's where your fundamental legal error is that one.
That's that correct.
And the incorrect measurement of commercial success.
Correct.
I mean, it looked to me like those are the two big issues in the case.
Those are the two big ones,
because,
yes.
Because you're not going to get to fame without them. Unless you can overcome that.
Correct. And fame cuts across both the confusion claim and
the mistakes that were made by the board in connotation and other issues are there and to be discussed in a very well brief. But it seemed to me that the core issues in the case or whether the board was correct in saying that there has to be evidence of consumer awareness of what I call mode of manufacture or the quality. And so the answer is, why not?
That's not what the board said, actually. And let me be clear.
Well, let's not go away from what it is the consumer has to be aware of.
Yes, the consumer, it depends on what kind of certification mark you're talking about. There are certification marks of regional origin that only certify as to regional origin.
Yes.
And for those, what the consumer needs to understand is that the mark signifies an exclusive region from which that type of product originates.
Yeah, in other words, mode of manufacture is not an issue in this case.
That's not an issue on appeal in this case. That's correct.
Can I ask you that?
Yes.
If you have a mark that is not a mark for a regional designation, but it's for quality control, like Underwriters Lab.
Correct.
Now, what does the consumer have to know about that one? They have to know about the certification.
So, according to the TTAB case law, and...
It's a question of first impression here.
It is a question of first impression. What I would say is you look to the statutory definition of certification work, and whatever it is the statute says, that's what the mark must be known for. So,
if you have a certification mark that is only for... quality, mode of manufacture, right?
It has to be known as such.
The consumer has to be known about that, right?
Correct.
So you have a mark that has both region and mode of manufacture in it, correct?
That is what this particular mark involves.
So that's what we call a dual function mark.
Yes.
You have a dual function mark. So you would agree that if it were a single function mark only for the quality control, consumer would have to be aware of that.
That's correct.
But you say for this dual purpose mark, you only have to be aware of the regional affiliation.
That's not quite what we're arguing, Your Honor. Just to be clear, what we're saying is for it to be a famous mark, it only needs to be famous for one of those things. And in this case, it's famous for its regional exclusivity. It clearly is famous as representing where the product comes from. Now, is it also famous as representing mode of manufacture, materials used, and so forth? That's not clear. That was not addressed in the record below, and it wasn't really tried.
This is very important to tease this out, because the problem that I have with the 1998 explication is that it isn't really focused on a 2D analysis because you never got to a 2D trial in that case. It was all in terms of whether or not the firm had fallen into genericness. And so this distinction about exactly what it is that a consumer has to be aware of in a double-barrel mark, your view is that for fame, it would be sufficient to be either one.
Correct.
That's right. For example, if the question here was more as to the quality control than
Good housekeeping,
it has to be famous for one or the other.
Correct. And let me just also clarify.
Can I just ask you? You can go back, but hypothetically, if you're trying to present evidence, could you say, this segment of the consumer audience understands this to be a regional mark that Cognac is placed in France and the evidence there, and then you could also bring in a different set of the consumer market and say, well, they may understand the region, but they really understand that this is made according to specific production methods and very detailed things, and they appreciate the quality because of that. Would that be one way of proving its fairness?
Yes, Your Honor, and that also...
Is that the only way? Do you have to do... That's, I think, what we're getting at is, if you're asking for a mark that's based on both of those, are you obligated to bring in evidence on both or only one, and why?
I think it depends on whether you are asking for fame as to both of those aspects of the certification. If you are seeking a determination of fame as to both, then yes, you have to prove fame as to both of those aspects of the certification mark.
I find this case difficult because the legal framework to analyze it is kind of lacking, which I guess is why it's a question first impression. Why is it that if you're only, even though it's a dual certification mark and that's what you've asked for, if you're only asking for fame, you only have, as to one part of it, what precedent? Is there any precedent, or is it just you're reading a basic trademark law on the statute?
There's no question that the precedent says with respect to the geographic aspect of the certification mark. It's a geographic certification mark, whether it's something else as well. Fame and the fact of it being a certification mark depend on consumer awareness of the regional significance, the exclusive connection between that region and the goods. There really isn't any case law except in the area of pure non-geographic certification marks like Underwriters Laboratory or a Good Housekeeping Seal of Approval where, again, the standard is do people recognize it as such, as certifying to those things. Now, I want to come back to Judge Clevenger's question because, and your question, Judge Hughes, calls to mind the case that you sat on in Newbridge where the issue was who's the relevant consumer for measuring confusion. And it's always the consumers of the product when you're talking about basic Section 2D likelihood of confusion analysis. But when you're talking about fame, you may need to go more broadly. You may need to look at a broader cross-section of the population than simply those who enjoy that product. And we're fine with that, but that wasn't the standard that was applied here. And to go to Judge Clevenger's comment, I just want to be clear that our view of the way that majority ruled in this case did not have anything to do with the dual function of the cognac certification mark. It had to do with something that the majority invented called certification mark status. That is, that consumers, they acknowledge. They use the word renown. The mark is renowned for its geographic significance as representing where this type of brandy comes from. But they said, but consumers don't know of its certification status. And that has never been a requirement. It's not in the statute.
I didn't know what they meant.
We don't either,
well,
but it's not in the statute.
I didn't know what you meant back in 1998 when you drew a distinction between consumer awareness of a mark that serves to certify rather than a mark that serves to indicate. You drew that distinction then on the genericness issue. So you can have a mark that I was thinking maybe that was talking about the mark doesn't have to make a consumer aware of the actual certification process. That the mark doesn't have to tell you what's happening in France. It just has to let you know that something happened that certifies us to quality.
I don't have specifically what you're referring to from that 98 case, but I would say there is clearly in the statute a distinction between for example, a trademark that has geographic significance. A trademark can have geographic significance as long as it also has secondary meaning. But a certification mark has to have geographic significance, and it has to have two other things. It has to have control by a certifier, and it has to be used not by the certifier. And it has to be non-discriminately applied to third-party markets.
And is your point that those last two things you're talking about, the board required you to prove that an actual consumer would know rather than just
that is how we
the
read
famousness of the cognac region?
Exactly. That's what I would consider, as I understand the majority's decision, to be certification status. Again, it's not crystal clear. And, of course, as this
court
said,
have to, a consumer, for this to be famous, as cognac, the consumer would have to know all about France's system of making cognac and the regions. And, I mean, France, all of their alcohol wine production is incredibly complex, and even people that know a little bit about it sometimes don't understand the Byzantine nature of everything.
Yes, Your Honor. I've been doing this for almost 4 years, and I still don't know everything there is to know about that system.
The bottom line point is that, in terms at least with regard to fame, that one needs only to know one can establish fame by showing consumer awareness of a geographic region.
Correct. And, of course, that it is, in fact, controlled and used not by...
So it's both...
No, that's not the consumer. I'm sorry if I confuse you. I'm not saying the consumers need to be aware of. That's the certification status. What I'm saying is to meet the statutory elements for a certification mark, you got
to
show those things.
I don't think there's any doubt here that there's a certification mark. And we're not talking about qualifying the certified mark. We're not talking about whether it's being challenged as being generic. We're talking about 2D.
That's right.
So it's the likelihood of confusion in the mind of the relevant consumer, whoever that is.
Yes.
There's an open question here in my mind about whether the board properly defined or ever defined who the relevant consumer is.
Yes.
Because there's a mixture there, and maybe if the case were remanded, it would benefit from a closer analysis. But it seems to me that what you're trying to say to us is that this teasing out of these two functions, both of which clearly exist in your mark, that for the fame analysis, it's sufficient to show that a consumer is aware of the regional connection.
Yes, correct. Correct.
But nothing to do with the quality.
That's not necessary unless you're claiming fame as to that aspect of the certification.
So let me ask you a question. We know that a certification mark is going to travel in the marketplace along with another name of some sort.
Yes.
Although it's probably possible that you could sell something just called Cognac. But in practically, that Cognac, I mean, if it's coming from France, it's probably going to have another name on it besides Cognac because it's not only passed the French authorities with just the one name because they were looking at a particular vineyard.
Just to correct you, Your Honor, I'm not sure I agree with what you just said. You could, Martell, Remy Martin, they could sell a brandy called Martell Remy Martin without using the term Cognac on it. That's not required under either French law or U.S. law. The amici make this point.
How about that in the country?
As long as it meets the U.S. standard of identity, you would have to say brandy. It has to have some classification under the Alcohol, Tobacco, Tax, and Trade Bureau's regulatory scheme.
So if it came from France, it can't get through customs without a certification that it passed all the French tests.
If it says cognac, it has to have a certificate that says this is
genuine.
If it says
cognac, okay, so it can't get in without a brand name on it.
It can get in without a brand name. That would be unusual.
So thanks for the education.
Yes.
The time is limited. The key question here is whether the commercial success issue in this case, which is the big part of fame.
Yes.
So I think you're over the inherent.
Right.
Okay, so the question is, you're always going to, probably always going to have another mark. And in this case, there are several marks on it. The big four are dominant. So the question is, well, what's the right way to assess the commercial impact? The board seems to me have said, well, when the two travel together, there'll be a presumption. In essence, we're going to assume that the main brand dominates, unless there's a showing to the contrary. That seemed to me to be wrong, because it seemed to me the only time we've seen this before was in Bose, and although it isn't fair or square, because in Bose you didn't have this case where all the marks traveled together, Bose said, well, you measure them independently.
Correct, Your Honor. In your decision in Bose, you set up what I understood
court's
to be
decision. Yeah.
The court's decision. In that decision, the court set up what I understood to be sort of a two-step analysis. First, you look to see whether there's independent evidence of the fame of the certification mark standing alone. And you look at things like books and newspapers and articles and movies and everything, all of which is in this record and all of which was argued vigorously by the opposers.
Counsel, you're well in excess of your time.
I realize that.
So let's hear from the other side, and we'll give you 3 minutes for rebuttal.
Might I just answer the last question?
Briefly.
The second step is that if you find that independent evidence, then you certainly have to consider the evidence of the so-called co-branded sales and advertising. You can't just discount it and ignore it the way the majority did in this case. That's how
But you basically look at them independently,
right,
and you don't apply your presumptions.
And this is before the dilution statute was written, Your Honor, but if you look at the dilution statute, when it says this is how you measure fame, what it says is the duration, extent, and geographic reach of advertising publicity of the mark, whether advertised or publicized by the owner or third parties, and same for sales. That's in the statute. That's the statutory definition of fame factor.
I think it's time to hear from
you. Yes, thank you, Your Honor. And thank you for the additional time.
Thank you.
Mr. Klobuchar.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, we're not asking for any finding that is a change in the law. We're simply asking that you uphold what the Board decided. The Board decided that...
Well, if the Board has the law correct, then you're incorrect. You're asking us to uphold an incorrect law.
Well, it's what the appellant is arguing.
I mean, I know you're arguing this is a substantial evidence case, but I think there's definitely a legal issue here about these certification marks. And the Board seemed to require that the relevant consumer know of the certification process or the fact why you would get a Cognac mark or something to that effect. I found its decision a little hard to parse. But why is that true? Why don't you just have to associate cognac, the product, with the region in France where it comes from and that it's famous for coming from?
I mean, I think the board did make reference to, you know, the certification status. You know, independently, the board also made reference to, you know, the correct tests for fame, right? They cited Bose, which we talked about, you know, just a minute ago. You know, the marks need to be viewed, you know, independently. And the board also...
That's not the question I was asking you about. We can get to the independent nature of the two different marks, but I was asking you, the board seemed to rely heavily on the fact that they didn't show enough about the certification process itself and just relied on the fame of cognac as coming from the region. So why is that legally correct? Because I think the board acknowledged that there is fame for cognac for coming from the cognac region, right? Why isn't that enough to make it famous?
I mean, I think what you have to take a look at is you have to take a look at the totality of the circumstances. You have to take a look at the sales. You have to take a look at the advertising. And you have to take a look...
You're not answering the right question. You're under different stuff. The board rejected cognac as famous because it found that it didn't go beyond just the region and show something as to the certification process itself. It noted, right, that the consumers, they didn't show that the consumers understood the certification process or something to that effect. If they require that, and we think that's legal error, isn't that a problem? Or if you think it's not legal error, then tell me why it isn't legal error.
Yeah, if that was... you know, a requirement. I think what they grabbed onto was the earlier decisions by the board that said that the, you know, the region, right, is a famous region in France. The region, you know, being a famous region doesn't necessarily equate to fame for the trademark. The region can be famous in and of itself. The question then becomes, does the fame of the region extend legally, you know, to the trademark?
Fame of the region for what?
I'm sorry?
Fame of the region for what? Famous for what?
They said that it was a renowned and well-known region.
Was it a famous place?
Yes, exactly.
Not having nothing to do with the production of cognac.
Right.
That's not what the earlier board said. You know, but if you're talking about the 1998 board, which board are you talking about?
Yeah, back in, you know, 98 when they talked about the region... you know, in and of itself.
It was famous for production of cognac.
Right. But, I mean, it's a famous region, but they didn't extend the fame to the trademark itself at that point.
Well, there isn't actually a full declaration of fame in the 1988 decision.
Excuse me?
There's not a holding of fame.
No,
there's not. The 1988 decision... came up on some judgment motions, and the holder of the French holding of the mark was able to survive the summary judgment motion. The case was scheduled to go to trial. Well, there would have been a 2D analysis there never was because Brown Foreman withdrew its mark.
That's correct.
So what is your answer to Judge Hughes's question?
I mean, I don't believe that the production methods are required, and that's what's being referred to here. The knowledge, and I think we talked about that, I think the appellant talked about that as well, that the production...
I'm not even sure the board was talking about the production methods. I think they were talking about the method for getting cognac certified by the French government. That clearly can't be relevant in whether something's famous or not, right?
I don't find it to be relevant as to whether something is famous. Ultimately, no.
Is the only question for us... whether cognac is a famous mark, is whether the relevant consumers would understand cognac to be famous for its geographic designation in France.
I believe that's correct, and I believe that
and if the board went further, they legally erred.
If they required the knowledge of the production methods and the certification methods, then yes. But I think ultimately what you find is that, you know, they do talk
about... Let's ask you the second key question in the case, which is in a certification trademark case, when you're trying to measure commercial success of the certification mark, how do you go about measuring that? You have sales of products like Martel here and others that have a mark associated with them. So how do you decide how much of the commercial success goes to the certification mark as opposed to the brand mark?
It's a good question, and I think...
Well, that's the answer. I get to ask the questions in this field, and you get to answer.
And I think the court, you know, this court in Bose, you know, really touched on that.
What did the board do here? How did the board answer my question? How do you go about measuring the deciding which part of the commercial success falls where? What was the board's holding?
Yeah, and so, you know, the board held that the evidence was lacking at the end of the day.
What was the test the board used?
And so they used a test of, you know, advertising expenditures,
sales. Didn't the board say
there's
a presumption?
I'm sorry?
Didn't the board say that there's a presumption that in a case like this we're going to assume that the commercial success lies with the brand unless the holder of the certification mark demonstrates to the contrary?
I believe that's correct.
The words of the board's opinion?
I believe that's correct. And, you know, ultimately...
Do you believe or you know?
It is correct, yes. And I think...
Or is that the correct test?
Yes.
Why? Why is there a presumption? You don't usually get presumptions in the law. Those are used to fill in gaps when it's hard to come forward with evidence or they're written into the statute. Why would there be a presumption that the name brand would predominate over the geographic region?
I think ultimately when you have to view the products as they're presented to the consumer, and the consumer is practically hit in the face, you know, with the, what I would call the house mark, the Remy, the Martel, that's how the consumer's presented with it.
Yes, but why is there a presumption? Why doesn't the board look at the name brand and then the cognac mark and then look at the evidence from the cognac people and say they provided enough evidence to show that cognac is also famous? Why is there a presumption that the name brand is the basis for the commercial success rather than cognac? Why isn't it just a head-on evidentiary question? You understand the difference,
I
right?
Yeah.
It makes the burden harder on them. And what's the legal basis for upping the burden on them?
It does make it, you know, to some extent harder, you know, at the end of the day, but the evidence should be able to speak for itself.
That's not answering my question. My question is, as a matter of law, why there should be a presumption? Is it based in the statute?
I don't believe it's based, you know, in the statute, no.
So where does it come from? Did they just make it up out of thin air? Is there any good policy reason why you would prefer a name brand over a mark like cognac?
I mean, not that I'm immediately aware.
Well, so if they did that, then isn't that legal error? Doesn't it need to go back on that point, too?
It could be construed to be that way.
Well, didn't they say presumption?
They did, yes.
And if we think there shouldn't be a presumption, then it's legal error.
That would be right. You know, I think part of what the, you know, board struggled with on this point was the, you know, conflation between, you know, the two marks, that is the house marks and the certification marks. You know, oftentimes when the appellates presented evidence, they referenced both certified cognac goods and certified cognac product independently of one another. And so each time they referred to it, they kind of lumped everything together. And they did a lot of that, you know, further when they were talking about, you know, media impressions, sales, et cetera. And I think that's what the board had a hard time with.
The board has to sort out whether the fame is due to the name brand marks so late or to the cognac mark, or maybe it's famous for both, without applying a presumption, without putting a thumb on the scale.
And I think they presented, but
they didn't do that. Can I just, because your time is short and we didn't even get to this with him, can I move you on, I'm sorry, do you have more questions on this? To the other factor about, the goods and services. I mean, wasn't the board overly stringent in saying that it had to be the exact same type of goods and services, and that obviously your client doesn't produce liquor and theirs does? I mean, isn't it just an association between the different markets?
It is an association. I mean, that is the correct standard.
But didn't the board reject it because of that precise reason that they weren't?
I don't believe they rejected it for that reason.
There's plenty of evidence that there is an association with the hip-hop market in cognac, right? I mean, the record's replete with that.
The record definitely shows that the cognac houses, the Remy, the Martel, those are the entities that are engaging with the hip-hop industry. You know, it's not...
Well, who else would they be engaging with? That's the people that produce the cognac.
Right, but I mean, it's not the appellant themselves. I mean, it's the cognac houses at the end of the day.
So what?
Why does that matter? I mean, there's a clear overlap in the consumers, right, between the consumers and the users in the hip-hop community with the makers of cognac?
At a certain level. I mean, I don't believe the evidence shows or suggests that the hip-hop...
At a very deep level, as every single person who listens to hip-hop music hears about cognac and quality cognac, and the performers, the lead performers who perform in that field have themselves gone to France and produced cognac that put their own brand on it along with the cognac certification. So the intermixture between the rap music industry and the cognac industry is undeniable.
There is, and that's one particular industry. I think you have to look at a larger viewpoint in terms of how it's extended outside of, you know, what the board, you know, tried to constrain to, and I think what Judge Hughes was touching on, you know, with, you know, the hip hop industry in and of itself. I think there's a larger area that has to be, you know, involved. I mean, it's not the entire hip hop industry is intimately, you know, involved with cognac. You know, there are some players, there are some celebrities who are involved with it, but that in and of itself, I don't believe creates the crossover, you know, between the market at the end of the day.
Why? I mean, all this evidence shows that it seems like the board rejected it not because there wasn't enough evidence. They said your client is based in recording and audiovisual industries, and theirs is based in liquor. And so they're not the similarity of goods. If they said that, that's legal error, right?
No, I don't.
Why isn't it legal error? Because that's an overly strict requirement on association, as opposed to the factual stuff you're arguing. Are you saying that because your client does legal recordings and audio and whatever else they do, and they do liquor, that there can never be an association between the two?
It's not that there can never be an association. There could be, you know, associations. But
the board seemed to reject it on that point because, I mean, the record is just replete with association evidence between those two industries.
I mean, I think the evidence...
I mean, if the board didn't use that legal test, that improperly narrow legal test, and why isn't their decision not supported by substantial evidence? Because the amount of evidence they put in seems like no reasonable person could find that there wasn't an association between the hip-hop industry and the cognac mark.
I mean, there is an association, but some association doesn't immediately remove itself to confusion. And I think part of that hinges, you know, going back to what
But didn't they find there wasn't, and that best weighed against them? At best, they should have found that it was neutral, but they didn't.
That is correct. And I think part of that comes down to the fame factor that we talked about earlier.
We're not talking about fame, though. We're talking about the similarity of goods now. We're talking about different DuPont factors.
I understand that, but fame in and of itself, you know, greatly extends the area, you know, the channels of goods and services by which trademarks can be applied to for confusion purposes. And, you know, due to the fact that they found the mark wasn't famous, they then constrained, to some degree, the requisite channels of goods and services in conducting, you know, their analysis.
Counsel, thank you very much.
Thank you for your time, Your Honor.
Mr. Klobuchar has some rebuttal time, 3 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. The court was very generous with its time in my opening, and if you have any questions.
Well, I have a question, if I could, on connotation.
Yes.
Because I first understood your connotation, this is on the board's holding that the applicants mark gave a connotation of sophistication and elegance. And I first understood your argument to sort of be a complaint that there wasn't any substantial evidence to even support that connotation. First on connotation, is it a connotation simply an inference that the board draws from facts?
That seemed to be what was happening.
I mean, as a fact finder, the fact finder is entitled to draw inferences if there is evidence to support the inference.
If there is evidence, and okay. If evidence is cited.
Right. But I understood in your reply brief to have refined that argument that your real complaint is that when they said, well, there is this connotation that they drew by inference of elegance and sophistication on behalf of the applicant, they ignored evidence in the record that you supplied that would have given you an equal connotation.
Yes, Your Honor, that
that's what I understood to be your complaint about the connotation analysis. Am I correct?
It's they didn't cite the record for their own connotation, but
assuming I would say I would allow them to draw the inference they drew with regard to the applicant's mark,
yes,
based on the description of what it all had in it.
Right.
But what they did in their footnote when they came over and talked about the fact that your French elderly gentleman sitting in his fine home with concert music playing in the background wasn't elegant. And that was the
implication.
That's what I understood to be your argument. Am I correct?
That is, and the dissent's comment, which I think was very apt, that if there is an inferential connotation to applicant's mark, it obviously comes from the cognac component, not from cologne, not from entertainment. That's where it's getting that.
I'll just ask a quick question for help, because I mean, if you're more expert at this than I am, if this case were to be remanded, if, for example, we concluded that the board made an error in the fame analysis for the reasons that we've been discussing, that fame can be shown just on the region, and assuming we were concerned with the way in which they measured commercial success, and assuming we were concerned with connotation, as you and I have just discussed, what else should be considered on remand so that this case is properly decided? Is there, for example, the definition of who the relevant consumer is? What's missing that could be considered given the record that exists at the moment? I'm not suggesting that the board is going to reopen the record. So
relevant consumer is quite important in this case. It's important for the similarity of goods and channels of consumers. And as Judge Hughes's question was getting at, that has to do with the consumers of goods. But it's also relevant to fame. And we acknowledge that for fame you need a broader class of relevant public for there to be fame. But we think that the record here establishes that, because the fame of cognac extends well beyond people
actually drinking. So it's a case where the relevant consumer is a composite, probably.
It depends on the purpose of
but
the
I mean,
analysis,
the relevant market isn't just rap music aficionados.
Nor is it just cognac aficionados.
So it's everybody.
For fame purposes, it would be broader than those two categories or those two categories combined. I don't know that it's every single person in the world. It's a very difficult...
Okay, so if that issue needed to be anything else?
I would say that with respect to the dilution arguments, I don't know if the court wishes to go there, but obviously fame for dilution is the same analysis.
I think the dilution argument is past us, because Belly would have no opportunity to respond.
Yeah, dilution.
Thank you, counsel. The case is submitted.
Thank you.